Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
The question I want to ask you today is this: how important is it that you actively pursue God and His blessings, and then actively praise Him for those blessings that He gives you? So in Psalm 67, this is what we're going to learn a little bit. We're going to discover what seems to be a very personal, very intimate aspect of our relationship with God. And we're going to see how that personal aspect of relationship actually has a huge impact on people all around us. This is what we're going to see in Psalm 67. This psalm shows us the heart of God for His people, you and me, right? But not only does it show the heart of God for His people, it also shows how He cares for us, not just in how He cares for us, but This psalm shows the heart of God in how He cares for us, but also in the fact that His care for us is actually a part of, an active part of, His fulfilling God's great plan for mankind itself. See, God has a plan for how He cares for you. But in the middle of that plan for how He cares for you, He uses His care for you to help others to see His great plan. So this is kind of what we're going to be looking at today in Psalm 67. So the psalm starts with a very simple prayer by the people in God's kingdom, those who belong to Him, right? This prayer shows a desire, the desire of the people to pursue God and His blessings on the people. So let's take a look at it. Psalm 67, verse 1 says this: God, be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us. Selah. Starts out, God, be merciful to us. We sure do need God's mercy, don't we? We need His mercy. This prayer right there starts off, it puts us in the proper place. It reminds us that none of us are actually worthy of anything that we receive from Him. It helps us to approach God humbly. When we recognize in humility that it's God's kindness and His care for us that gives us this mercy, something that we don't deserve, right? And then and that humility, that being able to approach Him humbly. But here's the interesting thing. It says, God, be merciful to us. And then it says, and bless us. And this is interesting. Not only does it remind us to humbly come to Him for His mercy, but it also reminds us that God's kindness and care for us gives us confidence to go to Him, not just for mercy, but also for His blessings. This is really cool. Think about that for a second. Like, Selah it, literally, like what it says. Think about this. This is so interesting. There's two requests here. God, have mercy on us. We know we have sinned, God. We know we have messed up. We know we have failed You, and we constantly do this. And so please show us Your mercy. Don't give us the punishment we deserve. Be kind to us. But also, God, along with that mercy, would You mind to give us Your blessings? This is an interesting thing to think about. If you think about it, like, God, be kind to us. Don't give us, we know we mess up. We know we fail. So be merciful to us. But also, God, give us good things too. That's a really interesting thought. Like, the boldness that we are able to have in asking God for good things alongside His mercy. And it is the only reason we have the freedom to ask for both mercy and blessing in the same prayer is because of who God is. It is the goodness and kindness of God that gives us the freedom to ask for mercy and blessing in the same prayer. It's because He's willing to cause His face to shine upon us. I love that phrase. You know how kids sometimes look at their dad for that look, of like, what's dad looking, how's dad looking at me right now, you know? And you know, the dad's like, you know, I love you, buddy. Oh man, that's so cool, you know? And you know, that face shining on him, that smile, that sense of affirmation that the dad gives and smiling on his children. It says a lot, that look, doesn't it? His face shining down on his kids. It gives him that look that, hey, my dad is happy with me. My dad loves me. My dad enjoys being with me. That smiling down on his children says so much. And this is what the God's people are praying for and asking. That's our greatest joy, when our Heavenly Father smiles down and his face shines upon us. Is it not? Isn't that amazing? So this is the prayer of the people of the King. God, be merciful to us. God, but also bless us. Cause your face to shine upon us. We love to see your smiling face on our lives. This prayer in this verse 1 actually comes from Aaron, the priest. Remember back in the time of Moses and Aaron, as Israel is leaving Egypt and on their way to the promised land, God gives Aaron this priestly prayer that he prays on behalf of the people. We find this in Numbers chapter 6. Numbers 6, and let's look at verse 24. It says this. This is Aaron's prayer on behalf of the people. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Verse 25 says this, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Verse 26, oh, I missed one. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Bonus graphic. Love that, don't you? Like out of nowhere. Praise the Lord for that. This prayer is not, this is Aaron's prayer, right? And now in Psalm 67, the children of God are actually echoing Aaron's prayer. They're praying that same kind of prayer to God. They're the ones who are asking God to bless them. And here's the thing. You would think that this is a very personal, a very intimate prayer. You know, God bless me. Be merciful to us. Shine your face on us. But then verse 2 changes the whole dynamic of this prayer. It helps us to see the purpose, the why of their asking God for his mercy and his blessings and his face to shine upon them. Verse 2 says this, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. You see, this prayer is not just a prayer of God's personal blessing on his people. It goes way beyond that. This is a prayer that has others at its heart. God, be merciful to us. Be gracious to us. Cause your face to shine upon us so that your way may be known to those around us, so that your saving health can be found among all other people, all nations. We want your way to be known on the earth. So the prayer of the King's people now becomes the prayer, their prayer for all people. The prayer of the King's people now becomes the prayer on behalf of all people. God, show them your way. Help them to see it. But also, not just to see it, but so that they will know it, so that they will experience the salvation that you have for them. Help them to see that how they come to you is no different than how we come to you. First in humility, asking for your mercy, but also in faith and confidence, asking for your blessing. Humbly calling on you for mercy, and then boldly asking you to bless us. This is their prayer. Father, help them to see that your grace is available, fully available for their salvation. So here's a question. How does their personal prayer for God's mercy and blessing lead to other people seeing and knowing God's way? How does this prayer that they ask lead to other people discovering the goodness and kindness of God? Verse 3 gives us a little hint. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Our praise becomes their praise. In the same way that we praise God for His mercy and grace, they too join us in praising Him. Praise is the proper response of a people who belong to God. And that praise spreads. It doesn't stay. It spreads by nature. And this is that prayer. This is the response to that prayer. Let the people praise you. And this is interesting. It says, let the people praise you, right? But it doesn't stop there. It continues to spread. Oh God, let all the people praise thee. The all is in the second part of that. Let the people praise you, spreading out to let all the people praise you. This is an amazing thing to see, isn't it? God's act of mercy and grace in their lives, and then His people praising Him and thanking Him for those acts, reveal the way of God to people around them. It's literally His acts of mercy and grace combined with our response of praise that helps others to see that God is good and that He is worthy of praise. Not because of who we are, but literally because of who God is. Our praise points others to God. This is the response of the people of God praising Him and then spreading out to all people. This is really interesting that this psalm is where it is. This is Psalm 67, right? This is a psalm of Israel in the Old Testament, in the times of David. This isn't a New Testament song. This is an Old Testament psalm. And it seems like the writer of this psalm here literally caught the vision of God's purpose and plan for them. You see, as God's people, God's plan was actually much bigger than the children of Israel. They were not just the recipients of God's blessings. They were actually the conduits of God's blessing. And here, in this moment, this psalm captures that vision, that purpose of God for all mankind. And that vision, that purpose of God's plan actually started back in the past. And it's like the psalmist caught this vision of Abraham's, the promise that God gave to Abraham and how it related to them and how it related to people all around the world. Remember in Genesis 22, the promise, the covenant that God made with Abraham? I'm going to sum it up in one verse. It says this in Genesis 22:18. This is God promising Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. This is what God promised to Abraham, and we saw a reflection of this in Psalm 67. But in the New Testament, Paul actually confirms Psalm 67 and the promise that God made to Abraham. And in Galatians chapter 3:8, we see the connection here that God's seed, the promise of God's mercy and grace would flow to everybody. Galatians 3:8, this is what Paul says. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Is what it says, I think, at the end there. Yeah, in thee shall all nations be blessed. This is the amazing thing. Paul is saying this. God literally preached the gospel to Abraham. He revealed the gospel to Abraham and the fact that all nations will be blessed by Abraham's seed. This is interesting. What is the seed that Abraham is talking about? This is the flow. The seed is the flow of God's mercy, right? He promised it with Abraham, and then he flowed it out to the children of Israel, and then on through the gospel, it flows out to other nations. And this is where we are, right? But what is the seed that Abraham is talking about? Is it Abraham's? Is it what Abraham is talking about? Is it David? Actually, Paul tells us what the seed is in 3:16. He summarizes it by saying this, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many seeds, but as of one seed, to thy seed, which is Christ. Here's the amazing thing. Paul confirms that in the next couple of verses that we're going to look at in Psalm 67, we're going to discover that this writer of this psalm points not only to the past of Abraham's promise, but it also points to the future, the promise that we have in Christ, and how all of this flows into one glorious story of God's goodness and grace. It points not only to the past, but also to the future. This, the one person in the center of this promise is Jesus Christ. Now let's look at how this is revealed in Psalm 67. Let's go to verse 4. Verse 4 says this, "Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth, Selah." Oh, let the nations be glad. Now, in this phrase, we see the joy and gladness of experiencing the blessings of God, not just on the nation of Israel, but literally on all other nations too. The nations are glad and full of joy. But why? The why is important here. It says, because thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Because he is governing and ruling all nations on earth is why the nations respond with joy and gladness, is what this verse is saying, right? Here's a question. Has that happened yet? Are all nations singing and praising God for how he is ruling over them? No, not yet. It didn't happen in David's time, and it's not happened in our time yet, right? But there will come a time when all nations will be glad and sing for joy because God is the throne, is on the throne, governing and ruling all nations. In fact, the revealing of this promise is found in Revelation chapter 7, and we see the beginning of this promise being revealed in Revelation 7, 9. It says this, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude," I love this phrase right here, "which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues." All these people stood before the throne. Verse 10 says this. Oh, verse 9 continuing. Sorry about that. "And before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." Verse 10 says this. "And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb." There will come a time when Jesus, because of Jesus, the Lamb of God, there will be people from all nations, all tribes, all languages, who will gather together under the rule of God, and they will, with a loud voice, full of gladness and joy, praise God because he is their King. He is the King of all nations. Psalm 67, verse 5, again reminds us, "Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee." All people will praise you, God, not just in the time of this psalm, not just in our time now, but also in the future when all nations are under God's rule. Because of Jesus, not only are the nations restored and redeemed, but this is interesting, the earth itself is also restored. Verse 6 reminds us of this. Verse 6 says this, "Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us." I think this is pointing to the time where all creation, remember the Bible talks about how all creation groans, waiting for the revealing of the salvation of man. Verse 21 talks about the response to that. Romans 8:21 talks about that. It says this, "Because the creature, the creation itself, also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. This passage is talking about how creation groans, waiting for the revealing of the redemption of man, right? And it says that not only is man redeemed, all creation itself is redeemed from the bondage of corruption. They too will experience the glorious liberty that the children of God experience. And the response of that, the earth yields its increase like we have never seen it, or at least before, after Adam and Eve has seen it. Like that kind of earth revealing its increase is what we get to see as well. The whole earth, all who are in it will see the glory of God as he reigns as king of all of creation. And we will be in awe of his blessing toward us. This is what verse 7, the last verse of Psalm 67 says. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. We will all be in awe of his power, of his redemption, and his grace. So here's my question. Why is it important for you to hear this psalm today? Why is it important that you hear this? And where do you fit in this story that Psalm 67, this grand and epic story that Psalm 67 is talking about? Where do you fit into all this? Why is it important that you hear this? The answer is in the first three verses that we just read in Psalm 67. The first verse says this: God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. Verse 2, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. The pursuit of God's mercy and blessing is not just for the children of Israel. It is also this pursuit of God's blessing and mercy is also your pursuit too. The desire for those around you to discover the way of God, to experience his salvation, should not just be the desire of the children of Israel. It should also be your desire. And the way that they discover, those around you discover that way, is not just through the joyful praise of the children of Israel, but it is also through your joyful praise. When it says, let the nations be glad, let the nations sing for joy and praise you, that's talking about you. So that you praise God and reply in thanks and joy and gladness for the ways in which he cares for you and in the ways he shows his mercy to you, that's you that verse is talking about. And so your response should match that of those who were already God's people, the children of Israel, as you have been grafted into this amazing family, being the people, the citizens of God and his kingship. So you respond in the right way too. Your praise is critical. Your praise is important because it is through your praise that the gospel flows through. You see, God's grace, God's mercy works with your praise to show others around you how good and how great your King is. And so by you praising him, you give other people a chance to see and experience the salvation of God in their life that they see through your praise of experiencing the joy and salvation of God in your life. So then they too get to join you as you join the children of Israel in praising God for his mercy and for his blessings. So here's my question for you. In your life, is the mercy, is the praise response of God's grace and his mercy and blessings, does that praise response end in your life? Or does that praise response continue to flow through your life and onto other people? Quickly, just simply put, are you praising God? Are you praising God just not in the personal aspect of life, but is your praise flowing out into the lives of other people? Do other people see God's goodness and graciousness and His mercy because you praise Him for it in their presence? So they see through your praise, oh, God really is merciful. Oh, God really is gracious. Oh, God really is full of blessing, and I want that. You give other people a chance to respond, to see and to respond and experience that salvation that you got to see and respond to. You do that by praising Him. Let the flow of praise continue, not just to you, but through you. In doing so, you get to be a part of God's epic vision, His purpose, for His mercy, and for His blessing, not just for you, but for those who come after you, so that one day you get to be a part of all nations, all tribes, all languages, standing at the throne of God, praising Him and thanking Him for His goodness, and be in awe of His wonderful, wonderful goodness as we stand before Him one day at the throne of heaven. You get to be a part, an active, integral part of that. You do that by one simple thing, responding to God's mercy and blessings by praising Him, not just in a personal, private way, but also in a public way, praising Him so other people can see that goodness as well. So here's my question for you this week. Are you going to praise Him? Are you going to take time to just say, man, I don't know about you, but man, my God is really good. This is the way He took care of me this week. This is the way He took care of some issues that I had. This is how my God is. When they see that, it gives them a chance to think and wonder about who is this God? And they discover God's goodness to you. So praise Him this week. And in so doing, you get to have a part in God's epic plan for mankind, all right? Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for the ways in which you are merciful, for the ways in which you give us your blessings, for the ways your kind face shines on us. Thank you for that. Holy Spirit, cause in our hearts this desire, this unstoppable desire to just thank you and to let other people know how good and how amazing you are. Help us to share that. Give us that desire, that unstoppable desire to share that with those around us. And in so doing, Holy Spirit, use us to be part of this epic, epic story of God's redemption and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.